Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier. I have my co-host here.
Cross DeRozier, Mariah can't make it. But we also have Miss Jive herself, Caitlin DeRozier, and a very special guest, Pongo DeRozier, our dog.
Yeah. So we've got a full bedroom.
Yep.
Which is our recording studio, even though we are missing the amazing Mariah today, but hopefully she'll be back soon. She always has good things to say. But we're going to be heading up this ship alone today, and we're going to cut to commercial break, as is our habit. So hang in there. We will be back very soon.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light, and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
We've taught the world to sing in perfect harmony. Just drink Coke, the road to obesity.
At Coke, we say we're woke. We sell drinks fat as smoke. China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price even higher. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away. Won't control diabetes, it's here to stay. That's a real thing. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at CoachChristie.com. That's CoachChristie.com.
All right, well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. In case you missed it, I'm your host, Felicia DeRozier. I've got my amazing co-host,
Cross DeRozier, Paula DeRozier, and Caitlin DeRozier.
And Cross happens to be my son. Caitlin happens to be my daughter, but she's the the brilliant silent type. She may not be speaking much on the show.
And Pongo happens to be our good boy.
Yeah, Pongo's the dog. So our usual co-host, Mariah, is off to work today. So we are missing her, and we are also missing her. So anyway, we're missing her, and we are sad that she's gone. I'm going to put Do Not Disturb on my phone and hope that everything goes without a hitch. Today we're going to be talking about creation groans, and we're going to be talking a little bit
about.
So last week we talked about how we suffer and we should suffer well because there are benefits in suffering, oddly enough. Today we're going to talk about why there's suffering in the world. And so let's start with the scripture and then I can talk for a little bit, okay? And we're going to pick up in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, and we're going to read through 28. And if children, okay, so this is actually talking, I don't like starting in the middle of a sentence, okay? The Spirit, I'm moving up to 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation, which was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with faith and with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. Okay? So that was quite a bit of scripture, and actually I'm reading it, and I can already tell we're going to spend a couple weeks just in this one little section of scripture, because it answers so many of the big questions about life. I think that we can know the Lord, we can know Jesus, and still have the question, but God, if I know you and if I'm saved and if you're protecting me, why is life so difficult? Why is there still so much suffering? Why are there still so many challenges that I face in this world? Is that right, guys?
Yes.
Can be a really frustrating thing to deal with. And the truth is that God's promises for us are for today, but for right now we're travelers through this broken world, and suffering's still a part of life until we get to our home, which is where?
It's
in heaven, right? So the big question is, if the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which the Bible claims, right, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then why is life so hard, and why do so many bad things happen? Just so our audience knows, we do have a chat room open right now, so if you have any questions or want to comment on something, please go ahead and put that in there. We'd be happy to look at it. So, I think that one of the satisfactory things about Christianity is it doesn't ignore the fact that there's suffering in this world, and it doesn't pretend like God is just cool with that, okay? It doesn't pretend like that's what God intended. But I think that we can get our theology mixed up a little bit, okay? And that's this. Sometimes when we're going through really bad stuff, well-meaning Christians tend to look at each other and go, well, you know, it's going to be okay because God is handling all this, and God has his hand on this, and, you know, he intended this for this to happen. And I don't think that everything that happens to us is stuff that God intended us to happen. I think he knew it would happen. I don't think he's unaware that it's going to happen. But I don't think that everything that happens on the planet is God's good and perfect will. And I think that the Bible supports that. Okay? This is why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says that we pray for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, because it's not always done here on earth as it is in heaven, right? But we have a tendency to try to comfort each other from feeling like we're free-falling in this vast place where where sin abounds and where we're foreigners. We feel foreign here. And we try to comfort each other by saying, well, God has his hand on all of it, and he intended all of it to happen. And I don't think that that is scripturally true, and I broadly don't think that that's true. So it's a matter of this, is that God broadly does win. He does have control over the world, and he has been known to intercede and to intervene at some times.
Yeah.
That's where the miraculous things happen.
Right.
Right, right. But generally speaking, he is allowing the world to do what the world does. It's what we call free will, okay? And God considers it a good enough concept that even though it causes some difficulties and sin and pain and suffering, he allows free will to reign here on earth at this time. And, of course, Satan is here as well. And so that makes life really difficult for us. So to provide a good illustration for this, we're actually going to go back into the Old Testament, because I find, and I'm pretty sure, Crosby, you find this too, that some of the Old Testament stories, actually almost, I can't think of an Old Testament story that does not somehow reflect a character trait or a storyline of Jesus. Can you think of one? I can't think of any. Like, they all relate back to the New Testament in some way, right?
Well, some of David.
Some of David. I mean, okay, so that's like a whole different discussion, but I'm just going to say a lot of the Old Testament, if you haven't spent a lot of time reading the Old Testament, then I'm going to say that most of the Old Testament does somehow relate back. So today, we're actually going to think about Joshua. Do you remember who Joshua is?
Which one?
Joshua.
Oh, that Joshua. Yeah.
Not Joseph. There's two Josephs, but there's only one Joshua.
Yeah. His name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is actually Jesus' name.
Yeah. So there's like this whole storyline we're going to go on
Greek.
On that later. Yes. It's kind of crazy. So Joshua.
Yeah. Yeshua translated into Hebrew is Joshua. And Yeshua translated into Greek was Jesus.
And we're going to go into that a whole lot. Hold on. And I don't remember where it is. But, yes, not only is it the same, but it also means that God brings his people into the promised land. Okay? So Joshua is the guy who is meant to bring the nation of Israel into the promised land. Now, interestingly enough, the people are released from Egypt through Moses, and Moses brings them the law. And the law is meant to keep them safe, but the nation of Israel finds over and over and over again that it's very difficult to follow the law, that they struggle to follow the law, right? And they also struggle to maintain a strong relationship with God while trying to follow the law. So Moses leads the children of God through this wilderness as they are trying to learn how to follow God. And God's spirit is literally with them, guiding them, okay?
He formed cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night.
Right, okay? So he's literally there guiding them. And so then there comes this time where they come upon the promised land. And Moses sends some spies into the promised land. Do you remember this story? There's 12 spies that go in.
Two of them are really enthusiastic, and the other 10 are like, no, we're going to get killed. They're giants. We're going to rebel.
Exactly. Okay, so out of the 12 spies, 10 of them are really discouraged, and then two of them, Caleb and Joshua, have this really marvelous report about the Promised Land.
If you're gonna get into a fight, and we're gonna do a war, and you're gonna get us all killed.
Okay, that's apparently that was how they sounded. Okay, so most of these spies trust their eyes and their circumstance more than they trusted God, because there really were giants in the land, and without belaboring and bemoaning the point too much.
Those guys truly saw the glass half empty.
Well, it's not just that, but ancient Hebrew belief would have dictated that when they saw giants, that those people were actually kind of like the Greek concept of a demigod, that they were the offspring of demons. And so you can imagine, as a normal person, that would be terrifying, right? Okay. And so they see these people that they feel are this demonic mankind hybrid type of a person, and they're not realizing that the God who is with them is bigger and more powerful. So it is back to the question of, I think a lot of times that we're in a place in history where we believe that God is powerful enough and big enough to accomplish the things that he set out to do. But in this time and era, still trying to struggle with, can God do it? Not will God do it for me, but can God do it?
Which is the wrong thing to think.
Right. But they didn't know that. Like, they're just really getting to know God at this point, right? So everyone except for Joshua and Caleb are trusting their eyes and their circumstances more than they're trusting the Almighty God. And they believe that God, and Joshua and Caleb believe that God can make a way for them in the Promised Land. The other spies spread this bad report, and they discourage the others from having faith. And the two that believed in God not only made it to the Promised Land, they didn't get spared that time of sojourning through the wilderness. That journey through the wilderness, they still had to endure that, even though they made it into the Promised Land. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so there's a reason that God gave us this story in the Bible, and it's really a picture of us and our redemption into God's new kingdom, okay? Jesus, as you said, okay, Yeshua, right?
Yeshua.
The name is Joshua.
Right, and Joshua means...
I don't remember. It's going to come
something
up later
along,
in our Bible
along
study.
The lines of, like, leader? I don't know.
So that's actually going to come up later in our Bible study, and I don't really remember exactly where, but we will go through that, okay? Jesus is our new Joshua, okay? He is leading us into
leading
the promise.
The people of Israel into the Promised Land.
All the chosen people, right? All of his chosen children, who now include us Gentiles, because we're not Israelite, right? Who believe in Jesus. This broken world is still our wilderness. Now let's look this verse up really quick if we have a second. Okay, 1 Peter. So that's in the back of the New Testament there. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Thank goodness for digital Bibles. It really helps on this.
Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
So it's not just me. I'm not some genius to have seen this parallel. Clearly Peter saw it too, right? And that's why he's referring to it. He's talking about being sojourners, right, in our wilderness. God's Holy Spirit has come to dwell among us in this day and age, which is really exciting, because there was the time where the nation of Israel is being led through the wilderness, right? And then he dwelled in the tabernacle, and then he dwelled in the temple, right? But then there was a time when the temple was destroyed, and God's Spirit leaves the nation of Israel. And even when they rebuild the temple, okay, remember in Ezra and Nehemiah, they rebuild the temple, but what's missing? God's spirit doesn't come to dwell in the temple.
And
again.
Elders who remember Solomon's old temple, they cry out in grief. Like, they're like, oh, this is nothing like our glorious past or our hope for the future.
Sure. And then, of course, you know, Maccabees comes and does show that the spirit of God is still with the nation of Israel, but he doesn't reside in the temple like he used to, right?
Where does he reside?
God is, he is wherever he wants to be, right? He's everywhere and wherever he wants to be, right? But now, so since Jesus comes, and Jesus, he reconciles people to God, right? Once he comes and reconciles people to God, then the day of Pentecost comes, and the Holy Spirit begins to reside once again, but with us as his tabernacle. Now, I don't want you to think I'm crazy, so we're going to look up the verse that's going to show us this, okay? Look up 1 Corinthians 3:16. Sorry, we're looking at this up live for you right now. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
All right. Through something? Or
just 3:16.
Okay. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst?
Okay. So this is Paul writing, okay? So again, this is not me just making it up, okay? Once the day of Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. We become the tabernacle of David. We become the tabernacle of Israel. We become the temple of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit continues to dwell here on earth, but through us. When we lack faith, our poor witness brings death and destruction to those around us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We claim to be Christians, and when we lack faith and we start to lose our minds, what does it tell the world around us? There's really nothing worth believing in, right?
Right.
Okay? And those of us who believe in God will enter into the promised land of heaven, but we will still spend our time wandering in the wilderness.
Two of our co-stars already knocked out.
Uh-oh. So our planet's still cursed, okay? We remember when Adam and Eve sinned, right? He curses the serpent, and he curses the earth, okay? Now, I want to be clear. He doesn't curse man or woman. Okay, he doesn't curse them. He tells them what's going to happen as a result of their sin.
Right, because in the beginning he said, don't do this, and after they did this, he's going to tell them the consequence of when they do this.
Right, so I think that a lot of people think that that was God proclaiming a curse over us, and he wasn't cursing us. He does love us. He does care about us, but he was informing us that things are going to be different now because of the fact that we sinned, okay? And our planet is still cursed, and our physical bodies are still dying, which kind of stinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't because we did something wrong or because God failed to protect us. Like, I didn't do something wrong personally necessarily that's causing my death. So a lot of times people will say things like, you know, your disease or your illness is because you don't have faith or because you did something wrong. And while sometimes we can cause some ailments to come upon us, you know, it's not necessarily a direct result of anything I did. Wow, that's really annoying. I wish I could turn off those notifications. Okay. I don't know how. Okay.
Why do you even have Facebook on your computer?
It's not on. I don't know why it's notifying me here. Okay. Anyway, our home is in heaven, and so things that go wrong here aren't necessarily because we did something wrong or because God failed to protect us. Our home is in heaven, and we are here learning to listen to God and to submit to his plan. Our flesh doesn't get better over time. So that's something else to understand, too. I think a lot of times we think to ourselves that somehow we are going to become better at, I wish I knew how to turn this stuff off. Okay, I don't. Sorry, I was checking to see if I could turn those off really quickly. We think over time that we are going to become somehow better at not being fleshly, and that the flesh will tame like a sweet little dog that's been trained properly. And that's just not true. Like, our flesh remains strong and continues to lead us into sinful behavior. But what we do, however, have is that, you know, as we walk in the Spirit and feed the Spirit and neglect the Spirit will become stronger, if that makes sense. So our flesh doesn't get better over time. We must continue to discipline the flesh and strengthen our spirit. Learning to follow the flesh, or learning to follow the Spirit, we already know how to follow the flesh, right? Learning to follow the Spirit is essential in our preparation for the age to come. Think about how monarchs are trained for their royal duties. They spend all their time as youth learning about how to... I'm still getting these notifications. They're driving me insane. They have
to... So is my math, but, you know.
Right. So they have to learn to be an heir to the throne. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're heirs to the throne in the kingdom of heaven, and we will be endowed with authority. In fact, we already are endowed with authority, and we need to learn how to utilize that properly. Okay? God's goal is for us to become Christ-like in both character and body, and someday in heaven we'll be glorified with Christ and endowed completely with his authority, and we won't sin. Now, this whole we won't sin bit...
I just realized, because the flesh is full of sin, that's why we get new flesh when we get to heaven.
Yes, sir, that is...
Because we can't have sin in heaven.
Right.
So he takes our bodies and he gives us new ones.
Right, so we're somehow restored, and the Bible isn't real specific as to exactly how this happens, but we are somehow restored to that place that we were in before we sinned and before flesh corrupts us. And I don't really understand all those details, not all there, but here's the point, is that in heaven we won't sin. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to assume that free will is still a thing in heaven. And the reason I assume that is because the angels clearly have free will. We know this because there was a rebellion in heaven where at least a third of the angels followed Satan, who rebelled against God, right? So if the angels have free will, we can assume that we will probably continue to have free will, which means that we won't sin because we have learned to follow Jesus and not follow our own desires. And we will no longer be fighting against the flesh because we'll have a new renewed body.
Right. It's like if you wanted a burger and you wanted a drink, but it costs more to get the burger and the drink. So instead, they offer you a combo, which is burger and drink and fries. Which one will you get? Because the burger and fries and drink are all cheaper than getting burger and fries and drink separately. So it's kind of like if we follow Satan, well, we won't, like, he wants us to follow our own desires, but Jesus, and he wants us to follow him, which costs an arm and a leg. But if we follow Jesus, he'll give us our desires and more.
Yes. I mean, however you relate that to a burger and fries meal, I guess works for you, and that's good, right? Okay. So let's look at Romans 8:18 real quick. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So for now, we know the promise, but our place is here, and there is suffering. We live in this, like, already but not yet reality, okay? We are already redeemed but not yet whole. We are already walking and learning to walk in the Spirit, but not yet in our new spiritual bodies, which will take care of the problem of the flesh. So it's this strange dichotomy of having that first fruits. That's what the Bible calls it, the first fruits of salvation within our body, understanding, knowing, hearing from the Lord. It's amazing when God speaks to us, we're reading the Bible and he shows something, something just jumps out on the page, and it's like God is speaking directly to us in that moment. We're like, whoa, it's so cool, right? But knowing that we can't actually be in full fellowship with him right now. And hope keeps us focused on God's big picture while we walk through this fallen world. But in the meantime, creation groans. Humans dominate the earth, and our sin and cruelty and selfishness takes a toll on all of creation, leaving destruction and death in our wake. We were meant to be good stewards of creation. And while we don't worship Mother Earth or seek to save the human race through the environment, it is a resource that is not our own, and we should keep this mindful on how we tend and keep up on God's creation. We're really short on time, so I'm just going to fly through this last little bit of the teaching so that we can come back and talk a little bit about God's names, okay? So what does Paul's assessment of our current situation mean for us?
I love how he always points out what we're doing wrong and then points out the solution to fix it.
Okay.
Okay, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you need to do to fix it. Chop, chop.
Actually, in this case, he's pointing out that we're not to blame for all of our problems.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's very surprising.
You're doing this wrong. I mean, you know, he tells you what you're doing right, and then he tells you what you're doing wrong for sure, right?
Right.
But while some of our troubles are there because of our sin and bad decisions, some are just the result of living in a broken world and a world where the enemy of our souls resides and reigns, okay? Secondly, God is not to blame for our suffering either. He isn't giving us trials to build our character. Hear that very clearly. God did not put that trial in front of you to build your character. That's not how this works. But the trial itself shows up because of sin. Sometimes our sin, but sometimes just the sin of the world. Sometimes someone else's sin. Just because the world is broken, it shows up. But God does not pass up an opportunity to train us. Okay? Like when I'm raising my kids, I am not making that hard situation happen, and I'm certainly not trying to make their life harder on them. But when a bad situation arises, I will absolutely take that opportunity to train up my kids and raise up my kids and help them to learn the important life skill that is presenting itself right now. Number three, I'm living in a world where terrible forces have been unleashed. There is a war raging in the spirit realm. Now, of course, we don't see the spirit realm on a regular, right? Like, you know, some people do, but most of us don't. I'm glad I'm not one of the people who sees it all the time. Really scary. Okay.
I love how in the Bible it depicts angels as very scary.
I mean, they are scary. If an angel ever came up to you, you should be darn scared.
Because the first thing they always say to them, to the person they're visiting, is do not be afraid.
Well, yeah.
And I'm like,
if you saw an angel, I think that you would be like, oh no, what's happening? That's usually not a good omen, okay? So there's a war raging in the spirit realm, and we were born on the other side of enemy lines, okay? Like, we were born in enemy territory. Bad things happen to good people. Our enemy seeks to kill and destroy. All will suffer, and usually unfairly, okay? And that suffering is meant to pull us away from God. And that's why it's used a lot of times as evidence that God's not really good, and it's not that God's not really good. It's that he absolutely treasures our ability to choose him or to choose our own way. That free will is so important. Number four, God's protection does not save me from suffering of wandering through the desert. Although Joshua made it into the promised land and he has the protection of God, he still spent 40 years wandering in the desert, and so will we. But there is some very good news. I can learn that these things can help me as I wander through this desert. Number one, obedience reduces self-generated suffering. So sometimes it's just simple, guys. We just got to obey God. If we do what he says, then there's a reason he says it, and that's because it makes our life easier. It reduces that suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. Most of the time.
Yeah.
Number two. Praying brings a great deal of protection to us, and sometimes even the miraculous. And number three, trusting God's promises releases great blessings, including things like healing, deliverance, and protection. Prayer here really matters. It helps us to discern God's will. It guides us through difficult trials so that the trials that we go through aren't in vain, but at least we're learning and growing our character through them. And it releases God's promises and power in our lives. Though we walk through suffering in this world, we know that we do not walk alone and that Jesus has overcome the world. And because he did, we will too. How's that? Does that work? Does that give us some hope for our promise? Well, that's where our Bible study ends. We're going to cut to commercial break, and then we're going to talk about the names of God. It's going to be really, really fun. So,
back in the cups of verses.
Yes. So let's go ahead and break for commercials now.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light, and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
All right, well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier. My sweet co-host,
Cross DeRozier,
happens to be my son. I've also got Caitlin DeRozier here, but she's the smart and silent type. She's
and
not going to say
also
much.
Sweet. And we also have very special co-star and guest and dog, Pongo DeRozier.
Yep, our dog is with us too. Mariah's working today, so she doesn't happen to be here right now. But we want to spend some time talking about the names of God. Now, this is an interesting thing for me because this was one of those things I didn't quite understand when I first became a Christian. Mm-hmm. But God has, like, a ton of names in the Bible, and it's not just given name. And do you know why that is, Carl? Why is that?
Because he's referenced so many times, they can't just say, Lord, 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 Lord.
Well, I'm going to guess that they probably could, but I'm going to tell you what's interesting is that the Hebrew nation, the Jewish people, held God's actual name in such high regard.
Oh, that's right.
That they never really said it, right?
They never really said it unless they were, like, in the temple or offering sacrifice.
They didn't say his name. And
like,
so,
they thought it was too holy for them to say, so they came up with a bunch of alternative words.
So what they would do is they would come up with other names for God that were not his holy name, right? Although we'll talk about his holy name as well. But that weren't his holy name. But what's really fun about them is that they show us different attributes of God, okay? So I want to start talking first about El, okay? So, and you might not always see this in your Bible, because some Bible translations actually translate it always to say God or the Lord, to save on some confusion.
Yeah,
so
I tried to look up on the phone,
and it always
find El, it always just says Lord.
It always says Lord, okay? And so El means strong one, but what's interesting about the word El is it can be used to describe God,
also
heavenly host.
Also, most of these, they really start with L, like most of these.
Yes, and so that's the reason, is because it's a way of saying this is the strong one, the powerful one. But think of all the different applications for that. You could say that your landlord is the strong one, right? Or you could say that the heavenly hosts are the strong ones. Or even if the demon is the strong one. So you find that word, El, used to describe God, but also used to describe lots of other people and or spirits, if that makes sense. So don't get thrown off by that. Often it will mean God, but sometimes it doesn't mean God. Sometimes it actually means somebody else who is powerful, okay? Adjusting around because apparently the dog has to be behind me right now. Adonai, okay?
Adonai.
Adonai, what does it mean?
The Lord or my great one. Application, it means that God is the master and majestic Lord. God is our total authority.
Okay, great. So Adonai is really, it's derived from Adon, which means Lord. And this term was pronounced in substitution of Yahweh, which was considered unutterable. That was the name that you weren't supposed to say.
Yahweh?
Now, yeah, okay. Right. So now, like, let me put it this way. We can say it. We don't know how it's actually pronounced. And that's kind of a long story, but that is that in the Bible, it was written as four consonants, okay, with no vowel sounds.
Y-H-W-H.
Well, okay, but it was written in Hebrew. So if you were to translate the Hebrew letters into what would be our letters, then it would be YHWH. But that's not obviously the letters that they were. They were actually Hebrew letters and the Hebrew word. So and ancient Hebrew was written without vowel sounds, and because no one spoke the name, we don't really know how it was pronounced, right? So anyway, that's kind of the deal. So instead, very often, instead of that name that God gave himself when he was speaking to Moses, you will see Adonai. Adonai means the Lord, my great God. And it's talking about who the Lord is in authority over us, okay?
Next one.
Now let's look at that one there.
El Elohe Yisrael.
Yeah, so Elohe Yisrael, okay? And so that
is God, the God of Israel.
And that's what it sounds like it means, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, so now we're talking about God being the specific God of Israel. And this, again, relates back to ancient times where, remember, we were talking about giants and how ancient people believed that giants had some connection, some lineage from the demonic, okay? And so each nation kind of had their own lowercase god that they would follow, okay? And usually the head would claim some sort of deity, right? Think of, like, Pharaoh and how he claimed to be part deity, right? And they
So, is she Ashley or no?
Based on whether or not we are saying that the, I believe there was demonic influence in every nation, whether or not there was actually, like, lineage that I don't fully understand. So what I'm going to say is it was definitely some demonic hand over that, and that's why you see all the different godheads there, and you see God actually waging war, not against the people of Egypt, but against the gods of Egypt. And that was to show that he was over all the heavenly hosts.
Also, interesting thing, there is a story in 2 Samuel where scenes in the Israelites that are lost in battle.
Mm-hmm.
So the Israelites bring the Ark of the Covenant, God's sacred throne, to battle as if it's some sort of trophy.
Right.
And after the Philistines steal it, they take it to the temple of their god Dagon, and
that doesn't work out well for them.
It does not. it literally crumbles overnight. Just cracks and just everywhere.
Yeah. So to put it this way, is that God has many titles, like King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? Okay. Well, we've already discussed that the L, Lord, generally means spirits, heavenly hosts, all things in authority in the spiritual realm. If there wasn't something else there, that
it's
title...
It's in Spanish, El Mi Ti.
Yes. So if there's not something else there, then that name doesn't make sense. Okay. So there has to be something else there. And a lot of that is lost to us in ancient culture because we don't fully understand the way that the ancient mind worked where that was concerned. So let's talk about the next one. We have Elyon.
Elyon,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
God Most High.
How about Elohim?
Elohim, the all-powerful one, creator.
Okay, so this is talking about the creative aspects of God. Where do we see that brought into things?
We see that Genesis 1:1-3, Deuteronomy 10:17, and Psalm 68, Mark 13:19.
So it's not surprising that we see that immediately in Genesis, right?
Right.
So the first title that they're giving to God is that he's not just God, but he's the God, the creator of the world and the universe.
Creates, right.
Yes. Okay. Not at all shocking. What's interesting about it is that it's plural. Okay. And so this is actually one of the reasons
why. Because in Hebrew, Elohim, but singular would be Elohim.
I don't know Hebrew that well, but I do know that that's a plural word, and that's actually where a lot of people will say the first evidence of the Trinity is.
Right.
Okay.
Because Elohim is plural, which means there's more than one Elohim.
Right.
But if it were singular, it would be Elohim.
And that's why when we read in Genesis and it says, let us make man in our own image, with the, all those pluralities.
Right. And we're like, wait, but how is there three people up there? Because it says, in the beginning, there was God.
Right.
And we don't get any more detail. But then he's talking to someone and says, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness.
Right. So that's the context where that word is
right.
Used. So let's look at
Elroy.
Elolam. Okay.
Elolam. Yeah.
And that means the eternal God.
The everlasting God.
Everlasting God. So this is where we get the concept of God being the Alpha and Omega.
The beginning and end.
Yes. So he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, right? Okay. And just for clarification, Cross, because I don't know if you know this much about Greek, okay, when they say Alpha and Omega, do you know what that means?
Beginning and end.
So why does it mean the beginning and end, though?
Because...
You know, right? So let me explain that, right? Okay, so those are Greek letters, okay? So if I were saying it in English, I wouldn't say he's the Alpha Omega. I would say he's Z to Z because Alpha was the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega was the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So he's saying he's the beginning and the end and everything in between. So it's just like, you know how you would say, A to Z, right? I have a friend whose company is named A to Z Events, okay? And when she says A to Z, what she means is that she handles everything from the beginning, middle, and end, and everything in between, that she takes care of it all. right? So we even commonly use that phrase today, but that's what alpha and omega means. It's the A to Z, that beginning to end and everything in between. So are we learning a lot? This is kind of fun, right? Elroy, this is one of my favorite ones.
The God who sees me.
Do you remember where Elroy comes up? So it's the first time that God's given a name by...
Genesis 16:11-14.
So this is the first time that God's given a name by a foreigner, by a Gentile.
Who?
Hagar.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she was a slave woman to Sarah and Abraham, who gets pregnant by Abraham and has a son, Ishmael, and she's run off by Sarah.
Because she's like, because Sarah gets jealous.
Right. And this is a terrible story because, like, of all the things, like she is absolutely oppressed and she's a slave and she's used for sex. Like, this is just not a good situation.
Right.
Okay. And usually the Bible makes commentary about things that are bad by showing you the negative results of it. So you don't hear God, like, in between the lines saying, by the way, this really is terrible. But you see the really negative impact and negative result of this relationship. And God...
God isn't mentioned once. Like,
he is, though, because they pray to God. So
yeah,
they're not...
His name isn't mentioned,
but they are definitely praying to him, right? So so in this particular case, God goes and meets the fleeing Hagar in the desert, and she names him Elroy, the God who sees me. And that is just such a wonderful, comforting name for those of us who need to be seen by God today. El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
And that is the all-sufficient one, right? The God of the mountains, God Almighty. We're very familiar with that one, I think, usually.
I really like the movie Evan Almighty. Oh, my gosh. So funny. It's a Christian movie. It is the best.
It is funny. I don't know if I go so far as to say it's a Christian movie, but it's about a guy who...
It's about
what it would be like if God approached someone and made them Noah today. And it is a very funny film. I really enjoy that one. We just watched that last night, right?
Yeah. No, like a couple nights ago.
I don't know. Emmanuel, God with us.
I didn't even look at the movie. I am.
So... what's fun about that is that Emmanuel actually kind of encases that holy name of God, right? And we know that who was called Emmanuel? Jesus. Jesus was God with us, right?
He's also called the Prince of Peace and all these names.
Yeah, we have a whole teaching on that too, don't we? But so Jehovah, okay,
Jehovah
is listed here. Jehovah is the same as Yahweh. It is the same.
I am the one who is self-existent one.
Okay, so let me explain why it's the same, okay? When we transliterate the Hebrew letters into English, we end up with the letters YHWH, okay? Now, remember, these are not the original Hebrew letters, and the pronunciation is probably way off, and we don't have any vowels, okay? But depending on how you pronounce it, ancient languages didn't always have the same sounds that we have, okay? So whether you pronounce the Y as a J, which is possible, or as a Y, okay? Right? And then whether or not you pronounce the V or the W as a V or a W, okay? So you either end up with Yahweh or Jehovah or any number of combinations that it could be. But this is the name that God gives to who?
Moses.
To Moses.
I am Yahweh, I am who I am.
Right, and I think it's really interesting. So we've been learning, because Cross is homeschooled, that's why he's always available for the show, right?
Yep.
And we've been learning parts of speech, and when we talk about verbs, we have action verbs, right?
And we've also been learning how Mom can't handle middle school math.
Man, it's really hard. So we've learned about, don't help my bad mouth skills. So we've been learning about state of being verbs, right? Which are the verbs that just say what we are and not what we're doing, right? And It is fitting for God to say he is, and that's it. I am what I am. I am everything. It doesn't...
It's a specific thing.
Right, it doesn't limit who he is, which is really awesome. Okay.
Our dog just buried his nose in the names of God.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
What
Lord
does
that
will mean?
Provide.
Lord will provide.
Jehovah
Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Now, we've got some more here. Jehovah, how do we say that?
Mekadishkim.
Uh-huh. And that's the Lord who sanctifies. That's important, right?
Chosen people, royal priesthood, holy unto God, a people of his own. He cleanses our sin and helps us mature.
Now, we first see this in Exodus 31, but I'm just going to point out this is used for us in the New Testament as well. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, Hebrews 13:12, and
1 Thessalonians 5:23-24.
And why do you think that it comes up so much?
Because they usually use this name to refer to Jesus, not so much God.
Right. So how about this one? Jehovah Nisi.
Nishi.
Okay, so the Lord is?
My banner.
That one always kind of threw me for a loop, right? What does that even mean?
God has provided the final cure for spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness in Jesus Christ. God can heal us.
Okay. Does that definition make sense to the Lord as our banner?
Not really.
No. Okay. So let me explain. I actually did some research on this because that one always threw me off. I was like, the Lord is my banner. Well, we don't use banners all the time anymore, okay? But back in ancient days, they would use a banner, which was kind of like a flag.
I knew what a banner is, yeah.
Okay, but you would use it going into battle. Okay, you'd use it going into battle. And the flag served as the thing that you had your allegiance to, and it usually represented your tribe or your country, or in this case, the Lord, right?
The nation under me.
Right, yes, that was a line from
Evan Almighty.
Evan Almighty, right? Or it would also serve as your rallying point, okay? Which means that you would either follow the banner into battle, or when you needed to draw back, someone would post the banner, and that's where everyone was to gather in order to gain strength and to be renewed. So this is where it comes to God healing us and meeting us where we're at, okay? Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah, Jehovah Rapha.
And that means?
The Lord who heals.
God has provided the final cure for spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness in Jesus Christ, and God can heal us. Let's see here. Jehovah
Rahi.
Rahi.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. Right?
Yeah, I think, I don't know where that pops up. Maybe Psalm 23:1-3.
Could be.
Maybe.
Could be, right? That's one of the more famous names, okay? But it's actually translated as, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? It talks about how the Lord protects us, provides for us, directs us, leads us, cares for his people, how God tenderly takes care of us as a strong and patient shepherd. And aren't we glad that even though we're going through this crazy wilderness, that we have the good shepherd of the Lord with us, right?
We've got Jehovah Saba.
Okay. And
the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies.
Yes. Okay, good.
Mostly translated as the Lord of heaven's armies.
Yes. And, you know, if I were to guess, so the references are in 1 Samuel. One's in 1 through 3, and one is 1 Samuel 17:45.
And Psalm 46, 7, Malachi 1:10-14, and Romans 2:29.
So we'll be coming up on that soon. How about Jehovah Shalom?
Shalom.
Yes, the Lord is peace, right?
Mom is obsessed with the show The Chosen. And whenever they say hello or goodbye, they'll always say shalom.
Well, that was the traditional greeting, right? And that still is. It means
the Lord is peace, because shalom is actually translated into peace in Hebrew, so it means like peace on you, like may the Lord give you peace.
Yes, exactly. So let's see here. Jehovah Shema.
Shema, yeah.
The Lord is my companion.
The Lord is there.
Yeah. Jehovah, hold on. I'm going to need help with that pronunciation. Jehovah Tizkenu.
Tisanti.
We don't know how to pronounce that.
The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness, guys. That's what it means.
Yes. Okay.
Moving on.
And then, of course, we've got Yah and Yahweh, which we've already kind of gone over and talked about a little bit. Those are the 21 names of God and their meanings.
I thought it was 22.
21. Yeah. So how'd you like that? Did you learn a little something about God and his character through the teaching?
I learned that you couldn't pronounce.
Yeah, we've learned that I can't pronounce some of the Hebrew names. I tried really hard, but, you know, I did practice, but it didn't always work out for me. So, all right, so let's go ahead and cut to commercial once again, and we will see you in just a few minutes where we do our question and answers.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
All right. Well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia Droter, my amazing co-host.
Crofter Rozier.
Yeah, we still have our little puppers here, but he's snoozing. Hopefully he won't snore.
Caitlin left.
Yeah, that's okay. She's got stuff to do. So this is the time where we're going to start to ask some questions and answers. Let's go ahead and give out our guest call-in number. Of course, you can always type in the chat if you're joining us online. The guest call-in is 319-527-6208. Make sure you press 1 so that I know that you want to actually be on the show. I'd be happy to pull you in and ask some questions of you. We can chit-chat then. That's 319-527-6208. And press 1. So how did you like that study about the names of God? Did you have
that
one?
That was really cool.
Do you have one in particular that's your favorite?
I don't know. I really like Yahweh, the original name.
You do? You like that? That's pretty cool. And it's really integral to the story of Jesus and how he proclaims who he is, right? So that's part of it, is that we need to understand this so that we understand that the claims that Jesus makes in the New Testament. And if you're ever reading one of the Gospels and you see people get really, really angry with Jesus and you don't know why, that's probably why. He's probably said something, claimed something about a name or a prophecy, and we just haven't quite figured that out yet, right? So those are things to look for. So back to questions and answers about our Bible study today. Cross, do you ever find yourself questioning why life is hard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What does that usually look like for you? Like, you've had a bad day, something bad's happened.
Usually, like, I'm like, why do I have to go through all this suffering? Like, sometimes I just want to get to heaven now, just get rid of the earth, just throw it all in the garbage.
Right, right, right. It always feels like, to me, I'm always like, man, why is it always happening to me? As if it doesn't happen to everybody else, right?
Why is it out for me? Why
me, God? And sometimes it's because you're following him, and sometimes it's just because.
Sometimes I remind myself of Jonah. He's like, is your anger righteous? Yes, just let me die.
Right, and it's usually just really not like that, right? It's really not, but that's, you know, that is how it is. We feel that way sometimes. I agree. So let's see here. Why do people tend to blame God when trouble comes?
I don't know.
You don't know? You really don't? God,
because
why would you let this happen to me? That never crossed your mind?
Well, they're like, well, you control everything, right? And why did this happen to me?
I mean, that whole control everything. I think that that's one of those things that just, it makes us feel better when bad things are happening. Well, God's in control. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, he's really just, he's there with me, and he's helping guide me to make good decisions. But just like he doesn't micromanage me and control my actions, he's not micromanaging the world either, right? So sometimes some very bad things can happen because he's allowing free will to reign within our lives, right? And it's a value to him, rather than use us as pawns. We're not pawns playing in a game. Like, we exert free will, and that's a lot of times why trouble comes. But I think that it's funny, because I think that it's when trouble comes, we want to blame God, but when good things come, we want to take credit for ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's actually the next question. What do you think? Do the same people who give God credit when the bad things happen give God the credit when the good things happen?
Probably not.
We're usually giving ourselves credit for good things that are happening. I'm so good.
I did something right because
right
overflowing with blessings, and then bad things start to happen again. And you're like, oh
God, why do you treat me this way?
It's like the pattern of humans.
Right,
like.
Right. And sometimes it's even something that I did. Like, I wasn't paying attention or listening to God's direction. I did something different. I did something that I wanted to do. And then I'm like,
no, God,
how come you did this? Really? you know?
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. I remember one time with one of the kids, they were like, how come if God is good, he puts bad thoughts in my head? And I was like, well, so that's not how that works. God is good. He puts good thoughts in your head. Satan is evil. He puts bad thoughts in your head, and you get to choose which ones stay. You get to be the
There's
one.
There's still a video that lives rent-free in my head.
Which video lives rent-free in your head?
The Dora the Explorer sandwich.
That's really funny.
So there was one that said, hola, and then it was like, make me a sandwich in Spanish. That means, can you make me a sandwich? That means, make me a sandwich. In fact, she didn't even get through the word, and her mom spread mayonnaise on two pieces of bread and full on chucked it at her. Perfect aim right onto her forehead.
She did make her a sandwich.
And you could see mayonnaise just splattering.
Yes. But for all that, you still don't know how to say make me a sandwich in Spanish.
Nope.
Okay, so let's see here. Another question for us.
Still no Spanish sandwich.
Has God ever rescued you from trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah. What role did prayer play in that? You just laugh. Did you pray when you're in trouble there, buddy?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes you do? And do you see results when you pray when you're in trouble?
I go to church every week. Okay, every other week. Okay, I've been to church.
Well, you actually do go to church every week, right? Yeah.
Most weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. And prayer does help when you're in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be amazing if we prayed all the time when we weren't in trouble, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Man, that would be super awesome. I do find that prayer is powerful when I'm in trouble or when I'm dealing with some hard things. So that's really a good point there. Let's see here. And when you get sick, do you ever wonder what you did wrong or why God would be mad at you?
No.
I think that a lot of people do that. And I think that it's usually not just when they're sick, but when they're dealing with like debilitating illness, when they're dealing with like long-term illness, if that makes sense. We can.
Like King Hezekiah, when he got sick, he actually cried out to God. He said, what did I do that you brought such suffering upon me? Because the prophet Isaiah, moments before, had stepped into his room and said, I'm sorry, King. Choose your heir to the throne. You will not recover from this illness.
Yeah, so clearly not a thing just for us not holy folks in this century, right? This is something that's gone on for eons, right? Okay, so it's not unusual. What part of today's message do you think is helpful to that kind of a feeling?
Like, all the names of God, the different meetings, like God will rescue me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also really helpful to think about the fact that this is not our home. Like, we live on earth.
Right.
And
it's kind of like a rental. Most people think of it as a rental, but I really like to play video games, so how I think of it is like a mini game and a video game just to prepare you for the boss.
Okay. And then we go to boss level and then we level up, right?
Right.
And the leveling up is heaven, right? So I kind of consider death as like graduation day. Right? Eventually something here on this earth is going to look like it really got me. And because of it, I won't be here on earth anymore. But when that happens, I'm actually leveling up. I'm graduating. I want some cheering. I want some joy on that day because that's when I level up. You know,
I say there is more joy in heaven when one sinner repents and turns righteous than 100 righteous men that have not sinned since they repented.
That's right. And when we move on to heaven, there's going to be no more pain and no more sin and no more sorrow. I don't even understand what that looks like because I know who I am right now. And I know that I still cause a lot of problems. I'm still a sinner. I'm going to say, like, all out myself, that there was a night last week, and it happens very rarely. I don't generally, like, get frustrated and snap at the kids, do I? I'm pretty even-keeled. I'm pretty even-tempered, right?
Yeah.
But there was a night last week where I was just losing my ever-loving mind, and I was snapping at everybody, and I had to go and apologize to each of my children individually because I had snapped at each of them at in turn, you know, and been a not very lovely person to live with that day, you know. And so I wonder how that works in heaven. Like, you know, obviously that's my flesh and my tiredness welling up and everything like that. But how does that work in heaven? Like, do I just have this abundance of self-control that I have learned to fully submit all my emotions to the Lord so that doesn't happen anymore? And if so, does that somehow happen on earth? I don't know. But yes. Thank you. So yeah, like that's kind of the question is, does that still happen? Did you have any questions that came out of that study? Was there anything special that you learned that you wanted to talk more about? No, you're good. I covered it all. Kinda, you mean?
Oh, and on one of the youth group nights, I got a gift card for knowing the Bible too well, so that was fun.
For knowing it too, I don't think you could possibly know it too well, but you do know it very well. And I'm very proud of you, and you're brilliant, and you're smart, and you've learned to apply God's word well. And I think that's the important thing. It's not just knowing it, but being able to apply it and learning from it, right? So, all right. Well, I think that we're done. We're not quite out of time yet, but since we don't have any callers and no one chatted us, I think that we can go ahead and bring this to a close. What do you think? All right, I can
talk about something if you need extra time.
Do you want to talk about something about the Bible or about a show? he's laughing, so I'm going to guess that he was thinking about talking about a show.
No,
what were you going to talk about?
We just closed.
Okay, we can close. Do you want to pray us out or do you want me to pray us out? He's doing eating, eating, mind, and mo, y'all. Okay, I can pray us out, okay? Lord God, we thank you for this time that we had together, Lord, and I pray that your Holy Spirit go and touch everyone who is listening to the show, who has listened to the show, Lord, and that you give them confidence that as we walk through this place where there is sin and suffering and challenges, Lord, that it is just the wilderness and that we will be emerging victorious because you did and that we will be joining you in heaven. And if it were not so, you would have told us. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your promises and that we can truly depend on those. I pray for a safe week for those who are listening and for us. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to let you go.
I can never up your prayers. I can never trump your prayers.
There's no trumping. Anytime, it's not a competition. Like, God is happy to hear your words and happy to hear my words and happy to hear any of our words. Like, you know, imagine like, you know, mom and dad, when you wake up in the morning and you smile and you say hello, that's one of the best times of the day for me because I'm so thankful that you want to be with me. And that's kind of, I feel, the way that God is approaching us. All right? Yeah, big smiles, huh?
I was going to talk about Hatha.
Hatha?
Sin.
Oh, okay. Do you want to talk about sin a little bit, or do you want to save that for an extra teaching? Okay, we'll save it for another time then. Okay. All right, guys. Well, then that's something to look forward to is when Cross tells us a little bit more about sin sometimes. So, all right. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.